This is God and Autobiography, the podcast, a dramatic adaptation of the book God and Autobiography as Told to a Philosopher by Jerry L. Martin. He was a lifelong agnostic, but one day he had an occasion to pray. To his vast surprise, God answered in words. Being a philosopher, he had a lot of questions, and God had a lot to tell him. Episode 23. What is the point of it all? My intellectual curiosity was being satisfied as God was answering questions about the creation and how he has related to various cultures. For a philosopher, that goes a long way. But I had a deeper yearning that was profoundly unsatisfied. What, I wanted to know, is the point? Is there a point? Or does God preside over a world that lacks discernible meaning? Lord, what is the meaning or purpose of life and of the world?
The meaning of the universe is not exactly a teleology, though this is not a bad concept. In other words, it is not a beginning-to-end narrative of progress with a single simple outcome, such as reuniting with God. The meaning that encompasses the entire story is a total holistic meaning. Particular moments are all bearers of this total meaning simultaneously, and in a sense, all the time. Think of the meaning of a body of work, such as Beethoven's symphonies. Their meaning does not depend on the ninth being better than the first.
Lord, I can understand a story-like meaning that goes from lower to higher or worse to better. And I can understand a rather formal meaning of a single work, its patterns and structures and the like. But frankly, I don't see the collected symphonies have any overall meaning. What do you mean by meaning?
I can see this will take some time. You will come up with an analogy that works for you if you keep searching. You surely understand that a single symphony has a meaning. It certainly has a meaningful structure and sequence. Yet, the purpose of a song is not to get to the end. The purpose is in the doing of it. Ask yourself, what is the doing of a life, of a universe?
Much of it is a struggle to achieve certain ideals, achieving justice, right versus wrong, and so forth.
Exactly. But that is not all. There is insight, understanding, beauty, love itself.
Well, I meant ideals in a broader sense than just ethical values.
That's right.
So we are supposed to achieve those things worth achieving.
It is for God to achieve them as well, for God to grow and develop.
And purpose does not require a sequential progressive pattern with a climactic ending?
That is correct. Beginning and end are much closer to each other than you imagine.
Then you are working with people, both for their growth and for the social and cosmic order?
Yes, though that does not sound as intimate as it is. One lover doesn't say of the other, I'm trying to call her into being and trying to create a harmonious, well-ordered household. That is immensely too sterile. You are living in and through one another, enjoying each other's growth, feeling the pain of each other's heartbreak, and trying to create a life together that has a value and reflects a range of values. But you falsify all that if you make it too means-ends, too instrumental in conception. It starts from an intimate core. Just you and her, and making a life together.
That makes sense for intimate human love, Lord, but I don't see that it says anything about the cosmic order.
Why shouldn't the universe be like that? Why shouldn't that be the whole story of creation? You do not say about the love, oh, it's meaningless because it lacks a larger purpose. If you say that, it's not love. The universe is one great act of love.
Should I conceive of telling your story as telling a love story? Not so much the external drama of it, boy meets girl, as the intimate life of it?
Exactly. That is what Maritain meant when he talked about getting to know the mind of God.
Catholic philosopher Jacques Maritain wrote in A Preface to Metaphysics that ontological knowledge, quote, seeks to discover the secrets of being, of love, of purely spiritual realities, above all, of God's interior life.
It is just how you want to get inside the mind and heart of someone you love. You want to understand them from the inside out, you might say. I want you to understand me from the inside out. And in those terms, how I have related to Abraham, Buddha, and others.
Where do we begin today, Lord?
Abraham is a perfectly good place to start. The most important part of the entire Old Testament is the Abraham story.
What should I understand about Abraham?
He is, as I told you earlier, the first man who truly heard my voice and recognized it as my voice. Although I appear in many ways, an important part of my nature is that I am one. I am a person and I am one. Polytheism is all good and well, but it utterly fails to grasp that fact. And as a result, it not only has an inadequate picture of the whole, but it cannot be a sufficient guide to life or basis for interacting with me. As you can see, none of the other modes of revelation achieves that.
No, I don't see that, Lord. The other revelations look pretty impressive.
The Chinese relate to me through an aestheticized nature. Fine, but incomplete. It is mistaken insofar as it takes the natural order to be fixed, impersonal, eternal, unchanging, regular, law-like. But I am a person, willful, interested, engaged, unpredictable. I surprise even myself. And that is essential not only to my story. You might just think, well, God isn't all he's cracked up to be, but to the true nature of the cosmos, the total reality. In spite of its apparent polytheism, Egyptian religion is an important step toward monotheism. It has a sense that God is personal and that the various gods are manifestations of a single God, not fully articulated except in the odd case of Akhenaten, but quite presupposed. The Egyptian god, however, is inadequate for guiding action, and hence the importance of the contrast between Israel and Egypt, and the story of Moses.
Didn't the people of Israel experience you as acting in history, fighting battles for them and the like?
Do not get carried away with that aspect. The chief thing was the divine encounter. They encountered me as a self. I revealed myself, and I gave them a law.
And monotheism?
I also revealed myself as one God who demanded allegiance.
Scholars say that in the earliest textual stratum, the God of Israel does not dispute the validity of the gods worshipped by other peoples. Lord, at the beginning, it seems you were understood as just one God among many.
But always as one who demanded absolute obedience. The monotheism flows from that.
Why was revealing yourself as a person important, Lord?
First, because I am, among other things, a person. Second, it was the first step to personal guidance. Once realized as a God personal to each individual, loving and guiding, not just in the abstract, but as a partner in each individual's life.
Was Abraham a real historical person, Lord? Was Moses?
I know those are important questions in one way, but for our purposes, now at least, they are not. The stories reveal a truth. In the case of Moses, they reveal the truth of the inadequacy of the Egyptian revelation. Read these texts again, and you will see Moses responding to the fully personal, fully one God, and seeing the inadequacy of the Egyptian lack of full articulation and realization of this. Confronted with the one God, their gods become false. The same is true of polytheism. Their gods are real. They're real manifestations of me, but they are not final, not adequate.
Well, is the idea of one God final or adequate?
That is not the question for now, but you know the answer. Of course it is not complete, and in that sense, a fuller, more adequate conception is needed.
I wanted to put God in a conceptual box. He wouldn't let me do it. Thank you for listening to God and Autobiography, the podcast. The words of God are spoken by Jerry L. Martin, who heard the voice. He can be reached at godandautobiography.com. The narration and dialogue of Mr. Martin are spoken by Scott Langdon, who also edited, mixed, and engineered this episode. He can be reached at thescottlangdon.com. You can read the original true story in the book from which this podcast was adapted, God and Autobiography as Told to a Philosopher by Jerry L. Martin, available now at Amazon.com and always at godandautobiography.com. Pick up your own copy today.